Dr. William R. Glaze, host and teacher of the Anchored in Jesus radio program, has been the pastor of Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania since July 1990. Dr. Glaze has been preaching the Word of God over the airwaves for over 20 years, and the Lord has continued to bless this ministry with an ever-widening listening audience. You are invited to attend Anchored in Jesus' fifth annual fundraiser, a luncheon cruise on Saturday, May 7th, 2016, from noon to 2:30 p.m. on board the Gateway Clipper Princess. We will be ministered to by Dr. Glaze with an inspirational word and by the music of the male chorus of Bethany Baptist Church. The cost of the cruise is just $20 per person. All funds raised through donations and sponsorships will go directly to help cover the cost to air the nightly Anchored in Jesus broadcast. The luncheon cruise will be a time of encouragement for Dr. Glaze, as well as a way to introduce new friends to this radio ministry. For more information about ways to support this ministry, call 1-877-831-5060 or visit our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. We look forward to seeing you Saturday, May 7th, 2016. And remember, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord. Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Why Did Jesus Cry During the Triumphal Entry? So if you have your Bible, please open it to Luke 19, verse 41, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Why Did Jesus Cry During the Triumphal Entry?
They were fearful that the people, the Jewish people, would revolt. You know, even if you look at Luke, and I didn't plan on going here today, but look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Verse 38. It says, they were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." Look at this, verse 39. "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Master, tell them to quiet down. Now, notice here. It said in verse 37, "And when he was come near unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice." Now, when did they start? They started when he came. They weren't making any noise before then. They were all quiet. But now as he comes to the city, the multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. They started shouting and make a bunch of noise. And so what did the Pharisees do? They come and they say, "Look, can you tell them to quiet down a little bit? You getting ready to get these Roman soldiers down on us. You know, they keep making too much more noise. The Romans are going to be in on us." And so they tried to get them to quiet down. And Jesus said, "If I tell them to be quiet, then the stones will cry out. So let them speak." Now, what did they take? They took palm branches. Look in your notes. The people took branches of palm trees and came out to meet him. During the intertestamental period, and this was the time between the Old and the New Testament, when the Old Testament closed in the book of Malachi and before it opened in the book of Matthew, there were still things going on. There were still a whole lot of things going on during that time. And one of the things that happened is that there was a Jewish priest, and his name was Judas Maccabeus, and he led a revolt against the Syrians, and he defeated them, and he became king. So the Syrians had the Jewish people enslaved and in bondage. And this man, as a matter of fact, this guy was so bad, you know what they nicknamed him? They called him the Hammer, because he didn't play. And he just led a revolt, and he just overcame the Syrian government. He overthrew the Syrian government, and he became the king. And then what did he do? He took the palm branch as the symbol of victory and independence. Not only that, but he engraved the palm branch on the coins, and he used palms in the temple to celebrate the victory. So therefore, on this day, these individuals weren't waving palms to welcome Jesus as a Messiah. They were using their palm branches as a cry for deliverance. They were saying, deliver us from the Romans. Save us from the Romans. They were going back to Judas Maccabeus, who had these palm branches and who waved them. So, now what does that mean? Does that mean that when you walk out the day that you don't take a palm branch? No, that don't mean that. See, and this is what I'm saying. These folk back here missed it. They missed it. But I would pray to God today that no one sitting in this congregation would walk out and miss it. I would pray today that if when you take a palm branch, that palm branch would have significance to you. That today when you take that palm branch and you walk out the door, that you just wouldn't give it to your kids so they could smack each other in the head. But when you take that palm branch today and you walk out, you might say that the Jews back during then misunderstood why they waved it. But I understand why I got one today. And I understand why I'm waving it. And I'm waving it because the Lamb of God rode into the city, and that when he died, and when he was crucified, and when he was buried, and he rose again, and he gave me the victory. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I take my palm branch and I hold it up, I'm holding it up not because I'm crying out for somebody to come and deliver me from the government. I'm not crying out for somebody to come and deliver me from the Romans. I'm crying out because I already got the victory. I'm crying out because I already know that Jesus got the victory for me, and this palm branch for me is a symbol of victory in Jesus. We sang the song, Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, thank God for the victory today. These folk might have missed it, but don't you miss it. Don't you miss it. They were standing there. They came. You know, they didn't come for Jesus. You think they came all the miles for Jesus? Now, once they got there, they heard that he was doing miracles, and they wanted to see who he was. But they didn't come there on Palm Sunday, or let me back up. They didn't come there on Lamb Selection Day to worship Jesus. They came there for the Passover. And they just happened to be there. And as a matter of fact, they just happened to hear that he rose Lazarus from the dead. And so a lot of the people, look, as a matter of fact, look at, let me start, John, look at John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, look what it says in verse 9. All right, now look, what do we read in verse 13? Palm Sunday, triumphal entry. But look right before that, in verse 9. Many of the people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, who he raised from the dead. They didn't come for him. They happened to be there. And they happened to hear that he raised Lazarus from the dead. And all of a sudden, somebody said, this guy could be the Messiah. You know, he's getting ready. You know, when he rides into the city, let's get out our palm branches and let's begin to wave them. These folk have absolutely no idea what's going on. Absolutely no idea. You know, there's several kind of people in the world. You know, there's people that know what's going on and people that don't know what's going on. In the third group, people that absolutely have no idea what's going on. And so these folk, they had no idea what was going on. They came for the, wait, you know what, he just, man, there was a guy that was dead. And this dude named Jesus came, he He touched him. He rolled away the stone. He raised him from the dead. Man, this guy Jesus, a bad guy. Look, as a matter of fact, you know, here he comes. Look, here he comes now. Look, there he go. There he go right there. Oh, let me get my branch, man. Let me get my branch. Whoa, hey. Deliver us, man. Deliver us from the Romans. The second thing. Oh, I know I'm getting in trouble. I know I'm getting in trouble. The second thing is they cried Hosanna. Now, Hosanna. What does that mean? Hosanna, by itself, apart from itself, has no spiritual significance. Absolutely none at all. You know what it means? It means save now. It means deliver us. It means please help us. As a matter of fact, we don't have time to look, but if you look back to Psalm 118, verse 25, the word Hosanna is over there. And you know what it said over there? Deliver us. Deliver us. The word Hosanna means deliver us. Now, you know, once again, they tried to attach some spiritual significance to it. You know, in the highest, you know, the Son of David. They tried to put all that on it. But Hosanna, by itself, all it means is help us, save us, deliver us. All right. Now, some of y'all looking at me funny. Just go back, you know, go back and study it out now. You go back and study it out. You see, I'm telling the truth. Pastor Glaze wouldn't tell you anything that's wrong. And so that's why I say you need to be Bereans, right? So that, you know, that's why I like messages like this. Because now, hopefully, you'll say, well, you know, man, we might not be able to sit back and take everything that brother says. You know, let me go and study, and let me go make sure what he's saying. And then you can call me or email me and just say, you are right, Pastor. What were the people on that day saying? They were saying, Hosanna, deliver us. Deliver us from the Romans. We're tired of being under Roman oppression. We're tired of serving the Roman people. Deliver us. Save us. Please help us. On the front of your bulletin today, it says, Hosanna. It says Hosanna. Don't miss it like those folk missed it. Don't miss it like those people did. When you say Hosanna, choir sang several songs about Hosanna this morning. When we sing Hosanna, and when we say Hosanna, what are we saying? I was lost and undone without God or his son. And he reached down and he snatched me out of the miry clay and he set my feet on the rock to say, I don't know about you, but I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking once, sinking twice, sinking three times to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And I'm shouting, Hosanna! 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 I'm saying Hosanna because I realize that I've got a Savior. I'm saying Hosanna because I realize that somebody died on the cross to save me from my sin. That's why I'm saying Hosanna. I'm not out here shouting Hosanna, deliver me from the Romans, deliver me from the government. I'm not shouting Hosanna for that reason. Don't miss it, saints. Don't miss it. Don't walk out of here today and take the palm branch and say Hosanna and miss the whole idea of what this is all about. Lamb Selection Day. This is the day they selected the lambs. This is the day that the Lamb of God rode into the city to offer himself as the sin for mankind. And as we come, I would pray, I would hope that Palm Sunday would not mean the same thing for you ever again. I pray that it would take on new meaning and new significance, and that you would understand the reason why we celebrate this day. And like I said, we could put Palm Sunday and then put behind it in quotes, Lamb Selection Day. Because this was the day that Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God. Well, let me quickly hurry on. Because if the crowd, the Passover crowd missed it, then we see that the disciples that were on the Emmaus Road, they missed it. They missed it. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 21. And here they were walking and talking with Jesus. And then Jesus asked them why they were sad. They didn't even know it was Jesus. He asked them why they were sad. And they were saying that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified. They said he was a mighty prophet before God in word and deed, and that the chief priests put him to death. And then look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. But we hoped that it had been he who should redeem Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. What were they looking for? The word redeem here means to be delivered from bondage, to be bought out of bondage. They missed it. They missed why Jesus came. They thought that he came to bring national redemption. The disciples, they missed it. I think they began to grab it after he rose from the dead, but they still had some struggles. Look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 in verse 6. Acts chapter 1 in verse 6, Jesus appears to the disciples and he's talking to them. And look what they asked him. They said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They missed it. Like I said, I think they began to grasp a little bit of it, but they're still looking for national deliverance. They're still looking for a political deliverer. And to some degree, they missed it. The Passover crowd missed it. The two disciples on the Emmaus Road missed it. The disciples missed it. And then let me give you one more person before I conclude that missed it. Herod missed it. He missed it. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Herod missed it. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And Herod the king, when he heard these things, was troubled with all Jerusalem with him. And what did he do? He said, look, go, when you find out where he's at, then go tell him, let me know so I can go worship him. Well, what was Herod concerned about? Herod was concerned about a king who would come and rule in his place. He missed it. I'm asking you today, have you missed it? Have you missed it? The day that Jesus rose into the city, people were looking for a political Messiah. Jesus in his heart said, I've come to give you much more than that. I've come to give you a relationship with the living God. I've come to give you something that no man since Adam has had in the way that I'm going to give it to you. And that is a day-by-day relationship with the living God. That I'm going to break down every wall between you and God, and I'm going to allow you to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to allow you to have a unique relationship where you can get up in the morning and you can sing the song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Jesus is riding in on a donkey. He starts to cry. He begins not to shed little tears from his eyes, but he begins to weep and moan because he said they missed The fact that I was here, that the peace of God was here, that the Prince of Glory was here, and they failed to establish a relationship with me. Palm Sunday, it's about a relationship. It's not about a kingship. It's not about a political overthrow. It's about a relationship with the living God. And I just want to ask you today, do you have that relationship with the living God? The other night we were pulling up to the church and I had my granddaughter in the car. And my granddaughter said, "Papa, why are you a pastor?" And I said, "Because God called me to be a pastor." She said, "Papa, how did God call you to be a pastor?" And I said, "Well, he spoke to my heart and he told me." "Papa, how did God speak to your heart?" Then I got a little stuck there. I mean, I can explain it to adults, but, you know, trying to break it down for a child is something different. But the best I could do, I could say, well, you know, in my spirit, in my heart, you know, I felt that there was something I was supposed to do, and it was just there, and I knew that I had to do it. And because I was asking God to show me what he wanted me to do, I just felt that he had spoke to my heart in that way. And you know what? When Jesus rode into the city that day, he had on his mind, I'm not going to say specifically, but this type of thing, he had on his mind the day when Pastor Glaze would have to talk to his granddaughter and say that God spoke to my heart because I have a relationship with him. And that's what Jesus came to offer. He came to offer you a relationship. He rode in the city that day, and I believe that he was offering all those people a relationship with him. And they missed it. How are you? Do you have a relationship with Christ today? Oh, yeah, Pastor, I'm saved. No, I didn't ask you, were you saved? I asked you, do you have a relationship with him? Have you come into contact with the living God? Is he in your life on a daily basis? If not, you've missed it. You've missed it. I'm telling you, you've missed it. Jesus came not only for salvation. He just didn't come so we would be saved. Thank God for salvation. But he came to transform our lives and to bring us into this dynamic relationship with God. And as I go through this time of the year, man, I want to be heightened and I want to be sensitive to that relationship with him. Oh, I want to be like that all the time, but I want to challenge us today that especially as we recognize this time of the year as being special in our hearts and in our lives, that we ought to be heightened in some kind of way to this relationship with Christ. And if we can just let it be business as usual, then there's something wrong with our hearts. If our hearts are not gripped by this whole scene of what Christ went through, then there's something wrong with our hearts. If you go and you take a palm branch today and you don't have a fresh and new significance for it in your life, then there's something wrong in your heart. Now watch, everybody going to say, well, I don't want one. Now go on and take one. Go on and take one. Let it be a reminder to you. Put it on the desk where you have your devotion. You know, some people fold that palm down into a cross. Maybe you can let it lay there on your study. You can fold it down however you need to do it. Take one. And let it be a reminder over the next couple days of really what it was that Christ came to do. That he came to offer himself as the Lamb of God.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Tune in next time when we return to our series, The Bible and Spiritual Gifts, with the first half of The Gift of Teaching. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Why Did Jesus Cry During the Triumphal Entry? You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request, Why Did Jesus Cry During the Triumphal Entry? Again, that's 877-831-5060 to request, Why Did Jesus Cry During the Triumphal Entry? Or visit us at anchoredinjesus.org. Also, like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to send a financial contribution, you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.